This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
Romans 14, 1 through 13. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then, each of us will give an account for ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you. So there's a Bible in the pew there if you want to, didn't bring one with you, it'd be helpful to follow along. Church is made up of many individuals, all at different levels of spiritual maturity. There are those that are fully aware of the freedom and liberty they enjoy in Jesus Christ, and they live accordingly. There are also those that fear becoming defiled by the world, and they live accordingly, and there's some people in between. And there's the problem. There's those who enjoy their liberty in Jesus can be judged by those who think others live too loose a life, while those who are strict in their application of biblical standards can be criticized by those who have adopted a different standard. So in this 14th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul tries to find a balance between the two, gives us some practical insight, helps us to know how to get along with our brothers and sisters in Christ that have different opinions from ours. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much again for your word. Help us to be able to enjoy hearing it taught and preached this morning. We need your help to give us understanding because it's spiritually discerned. And you're in the process of trying to conform us to the image of your Son. And we can do that with the aid of the Holy Spirit if we yield to him on a daily basis. So we ask for your understanding this morning of your holy word, and teach our hearts so we can be more Christ-like. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, he says, except those who are weak in the faith without passing judgment on disputable matters. Paul speaks of a similar problem that was in the early church. They were these Gentiles that had been saved out of paganism, who had turned their backs on idolatry, and they wouldn't dare touch or go anywhere near anything associated with that former lifestyle. But also within the church in Rome, that there were these converted Jews who had been shown through the gospel that they had complete liberty to eat all kinds of meat, even if that meat had been used in heathen sacrifices to idols. They didn't have a problem eating that at all. They knew the idols weren't real, that the meat was just that, meat. So they didn't have a problem eating it. But that offended the Gentiles because they had been saved out of that lifestyle of idolatry. So Paul had to deal with this issue of eating meat. And if you want to read it later on, if you want to take a note, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Read that. Paul goes into that in depth. If you want to read that for yourselves later on. The main focus of these verses is about people who Paul calls the weaker brother. The weaker brother, meaning those believers who are more easily offended by the actions of others. Those believers who are more easily offended by the actions of others. We need to understand that there are people around us that see things differently than we do. We need to recognize the fact that we're not the only dog in the pound. Not everyone is going to agree with your standards or mine, but that's okay. But having said that, what other people think about the way we live our life does matter. And if possible, we must avoid being an offense to anybody. People of the world have a different attitude. Maybe you've heard them say, and I've definitely heard them say, well, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to do what I want anyway. It doesn't matter what people think. I'm just going to do exactly what I want. And they do. We shouldn't have that same attitude. We're different. Verse 2, Paul talks about that we're not all the same. You may have noticed that we're all different. God made us that way. We are unique. Your fingerprints are unique only to you. Your DNA. Some people eat meat. Some people are vegetarian. I didn't get this high on the food chain, just eat vegetables. Some Christians don't drink alcohol. Some Christians do. Some Christians would never go to the movies. Some Christians do. Some don't smoke. Never smoke. Never will smoke. Some do. We're talking about Christians. Some go dancing. Some Christians would never dance. Unless they're dancing in the spirit. That doesn't happen here. Some people like country and western music. Some people like pop music. Some people like rock music. Some people like them all. They also like the hymns. Some people don't like any of those. So we're all different. We're all different. These actions and different opinions between believers, Paul calls disputable matters. Disputable matters. We've all got different views. We've all got different ideas. We've all got different opinions, likes and dislikes. Does that make us right? That's okay, as long as we've got different opinions, but we shouldn't try to manipulate others to fit into our mold, thinking that we know what's best for them. You ever met people like that? Thinking that we are better because we don't or wouldn't do what they do. But having said that, Paul says that we are to try our best not to offend other people. And we should never allow our differences cause division and disunity within the church family. Satan absolutely loves that when it happens. He loves it. If anyone's dancing when that happens, it's Satan. And God hates it. There are some things that God hates, and that's one of them. This unity and division within the church. In verse 3, basically, Paul is talking about don't look down on others because God accepts them. Whether a professing believer agrees with us or not, whether whatever convictions they may hold, that is theirs. Whether they are right or wrong, we can't change how people think or what they do. Only they can do that with the help of God. You may never agree with them, see things their way, but we're not to despise them either, or hold a low opinion of them, or to judge them. What are we supposed to do? Love them, accept them, just like the Lord has done already. If you read the end of verse 3 there, God has already accepted them. Who are we to judge? Verse 4. The whole idea of this verse is that none of us is God. If you didn't know already. None of us is God. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't save other people. We don't lead and guide them. And they don't have to answer to us. If disputable matters is not the issue to God, why should it be to us? So regardless of what we think about another believer, what they do in his or her life, ultimately, they are accountable to God alone. They're not accountable to us. Talks about in verse 5 and 6 through 7, convictions and consecration. He turns our attention to worship days. Some people like to worship on Saturdays. Some people prefer to worship on Sundays. However, Paul tells us whatever day that we worship, whatever day we choose to worship together, we're not to violate our conscience. Every one of us has got a conscience. It's God-given. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, if our God-given conscience bothers us about doing something wrong, and we choose to ignore our conscience and go ahead and do it anyway, then it is sin. You read James chapter 4, verse 17 to verify that fact. You should write these scripture verses down. But whatever we do, and can honestly do it without the Holy Spirit convicting us that it is wrong, then that is between the individual and God alone. And verse 6 through 7 is talking about consecration. It reinforces what we've just been talking about. We need to ask ourselves, what I do, is it something I do that honors God? Or does it dishonor God? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Can I do this with a clear conscience? Is it right or is it wrong? Is it good or is it evil? So these are valid questions, and these will determine what's allowed in our lives and what's not allowed. And if you want to know what's allowed and disallowed, you only need to read the manual. You only need to read the Word of God. It's all the answers are in there, the Bible. We're all at different stages of spiritual development and growth. We're not in the same level of spiritual maturity. And verses 8 and 9, Paul talks about this issue. The life of our fellow believers is important. And this concern outweighs anything else above all. Our lives are to be pleasing to the Lord. We're not necessarily, you're not going to be able to please everybody else. That's impossible. You can't please everybody. You can please some people some of the time, some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. Our concern is to please the Lord. That should be our main focus, regardless of what other people think, regardless of what other people do or may not do. We belong to Jesus. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. And because of that, we have no rights just to live the way we think we ought to live. We should live it according to biblical standards to bring honor to God. That's the only consideration that should always be on our minds. Our obligation is to live as obedient servants to the Master. The Master. We are his disciples, which means followers and learners. And we are to follow Jesus. Not because we're forced to do it, but because we love him. If you love someone, you want to please them, don't you? You want to go out of your way. You go the extra mile to try to please them. If you love them, if you don't love them, you don't care what they think or what they do. You have no concern for them whatsoever. If you really love somebody, you want to please them. And Valentine's Day is coming up, by the way. Right? And now Paul talks about judging others. In verse 10, do not judge others. Why? Well, for a start, it's wrong. And B, we're going to be standing, all of us are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day. We're all going to stand alone before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done since we've been saved. We won't answer for our sins. That was dealt with on the cross at Calvary. But we will answer for everything else. While we walk this earth, we should always remember we have no right to play God in the lives of our fellow believers or pass judgment on them. If a Christian is living in open sin and it bothers you that much, then we have an obligation to speak to that person about it. Personally, privately, and in the spirit of kindness and love. And if we're convinced that they're in the wrong, we need to pray for them and then trust the Spirit of God to work in their hearts so that they may repent. In other words, turn from their sins. We are not to judge them. 10 through 13, Paul talks about we do have to give an account to God. One day, the only person, well, we're going to stand alone before God. We can't account for anyone else, but we have to give an account for what we've done. One day, that person that we think is such a biblical compromiser also has to stand before the Lord. And we'll have to give an account to him. And so will we. Then the accounts will be settled. Things will be dealt with properly. They and us will either be blessed or we will suffer loss of reward. I heard that story about a pastor that died and he's approaching the pearly gates. And he hears this band of singing, dancing angels come in and he starts to get excited and they're all riled up. And this lead angel tells the pastor to move to one side. In shock, the pastor does what he's told, of course. And this joyous parade of angels, singing angels, shouting and carrying on. And they're carrying this bus driver on their shoulders. And they're all singing and shouting and carrying on. And they're carrying the bus driver through the pearly gates. And when the parade was gone, the pastor says, well, you know, I don't want to complain or anything, but, you know, I've been a good pastor. You know, I've served the Lord all these years, and I've worked all kinds of hours, day and night, and I've sacrificed this, and I've done that. I've worked hard all my life. And why is it that this bus driver gets in ahead of me? And the angel says, well, frankly, Pastor, whenever you preach, people slept, but whenever he drove, people prayed. So, all right. So, one day, we'll get exactly what's coming to us. No more, no less. It may be just that we will find out that everything was not as we thought it was. It will be a day of perfect reckoning and just accounting. Therefore, may the Lord help us to learn to avoid judging others and concern ourselves with living the life that He wants us to live. With all these fresh truths in our minds, I hope they still are, it might be good to remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, beloved," you know you loved? "Wherefore, beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation. Don't try to work out somebody else's. If we're going to judge a life, let it be our own. If we're going to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not seek to do it by setting ourselves up as judge and jury. Rather, let's love them. Let's pray for them. I live a life that, in a manner that would be a good example to them and a blessing to them. Not be a hindrance to their spiritual growth. Not be a hindrance, or as Paul puts it in verse 13, a stumbling block to their faith and spiritual growth. Let's not be a stumbling block to their spiritual faith and growth. Let's not be guilty of imposing our standards on other believers by setting up our own little kangaroo court from which we render judgment on everyone else's life. Sadly, all of us have been guilty of doing this from time to time. You know, maybe there's a little bit of the hypocrite in each one of us, and we have to watch out for that. I'm convinced that God still speaks to the church. He spoke to the church in Paul's day, and in these last days, He's speaking to us. And He wants to teach us, and He wants to bless us, and He wants to help us to grow in our faith and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can love others just as much as He loves us and accepts them. And just as much as Jesus loves us and accepts you. Let's do the same with our fellow believers. Amen. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. And we know that you do speak through your word, through the teaching, the preaching of it. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And forgive us. Then when we have judged others, we've set ourselves up as judge and jury. But now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and you accept us in the beloved, into the family of God. And help us not to play the hypocrite. We've done that, all of us. I confess that I have myself, and I'm not perfect. I'm far from it, and neither is anybody else. But you're helping us and you're teaching us through your word. These things are not coincidental. We need these things at this time in our lives, at this period of time. And your word is just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago, because people haven't changed. And we thank you that we do have the glorious, holy word of God to help us to grow and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. And help us to love one another, and help us to apply these principles, because one day we will stand before your judgment seat, and we have to give an account for the things that we've done since we've been saved. But thanks be to God, we will never have to be judged for the sins that we commit, have committed and will commit, because you took that on the cross at Calvary. You bore our sins. God the Father punished you in our place so that we wouldn't be judged. we wouldn't be condemned. We wouldn't be punished. We wouldn't suffer the penalty of those sins that we've committed, because Jesus took that himself on the cross. And thank you for doing that, Lord, and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.